of the community.
We're going to see you again next week.
Welcome to The Collision.
The Collision, where sports and politics smash. Thursdays at 10 a.m. and on iTunes and Google Play. WPFW, Washington, D.C.
Greetings. I'm Askia Muhammad, news director. And you're tuned to member-supported WPFW, Washington.
We'll wait for them. We'll wait for them. We'll wait for them.
You know, nowadays it seems like there's a lot of bad things going on, and I guess a lot of it, from the way I see it, seems to still stem from lack of feelings on our parts and how we relate or communicate with our fellow brothers and sisters. Hatred is a feeling, love is a feeling. Let's hate all that does not allow us to love. And we can do that just by getting to know each other and talking to the people. Who can you turn to tell your troubles? Tell them to. You can't go around wondering what it is you gotta do. You gotta be ready and willing to make a move. Nobody can push you if you don't want to move. You suffer, cry, and hate, and live the American way. Fly the hateful skies of America, fly the American way. Gotta talk to the people, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, gotta talk to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Chip. Good morning, Don.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, WPFW listeners. Welcome to Community Watch and Comment Friday edition with yours truly, Ron Pinchback, and Chip Jones, and Don Williams. And welcome to Friday edition. This morning, we're going to open up phone lines and talk about things that are happening right downtown and all across this country. Mike, is Miss Taylor there with us? Okay. All right. Good. Joining us for the first 10 minutes of the show is Miss Sansara Taylor. Sansara Taylor is a local activist and, part of the Refuse Fascism, group that are encouraging us to learn more about, those threats. That very, very real threat. And this weekend in downtown D.C., the mega ralliers will be down there and demanding to overturn the election, amongst other things. And so they're going to be, folks down there, kind of puffed up, kind of ready. Mm-hmm. So, we want to, make you apprise you of that. Mr. Sarah Taylor can give us some thoughts about, what is going, how we can protest, how we can resist the gathering, nonviolently, of course. And we certainly encourage that because, first of all, these folks are, I don't know any other way to put it, and Sansara has experienced it. She can tell us all about it. These people are dangerous, and some of them there to precipitate activity, we don't want that. We don't want that to occur. We don't want anybody getting hurt or anything like that. Sansara, are you there?
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Sansara. Now you organized the resistance to the last time the Trump folks were in town. So tell us what's going on this weekend, why it's important for people to know about it, and if they have to travel through town, how to be safe about it if they want to come out and register their resistance.
Yeah, I think it's important to just start with that in the last few days, in the last couple of weeks, we have seen an extraordinary, even since the last time that the MAGA people came to D.C., what has escalated in this country in terms of Donald Trump, his fascist Republican Party, and his supporters, his mindless mobs of supporters, working and escalating an attempt to overturn an election. And whether or not they succeed in overturning this particular election, they are succeeding in normalizing what nobody can deny is outright fascist behavior towards public officials, towards dissenters, and towards the elections. They've shown up at the state Secretary of State of Michigan's home in the dead of night and screaming obscenities armed, you know, because she was part of verifying a legitimate election. They've sent death threats and nooses to public officials, to black elected officials, and to poll workers. The 17 attorneys general, Republicans in state attorneys general across the country have filed a lawsuit to the Supreme Court to throw out millions and millions of votes and overturn the election. And they would just yesterday, 106 Republicans in Congress voted in favor of that. This is an assault. And again, whether or not it succeeds in overturning this election, it's normalizing a fascist standard that nobody besides these fascists is legitimate. No election is legitimate in their eyes unless they win. And it's got long-term dangers and very near-term dangers. And so this is the occasion and the context in which they're rallying in D.C. tomorrow. And that we have to face the facts. No one is going to stop this fascism except for us. They lost the election, but they are winning the momentum right now. And we've got to stand up on our side. We've got to be in the streets. The Democrats haven't said peep about this, and they're not going to. They're reaching across the aisle. Joe Biden is busy trying to accommodate and unite the country. You can't unite with this. You have to stand up against this, and that's on us. So tomorrow we're going to be at BLM Plaza at noon. We're going to be saying, no, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. We cannot allow this. Our side needs to be in the public square. We are not going to confront the MAGA mobs. We're going to be in a different location than them. We're going to be nonviolent, but we have to be in the public square, and we have to stand up, and we have to make this known, because what's at stake is, I think, you know, we look back on the German people who went along with fascism when it consolidated. This is right now. Don't delude yourself. Yes, they lost the election, and that is a great thing. It's a great gift to the people of the world, as the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian pointed out it would be. But it bought us time. That's all it did. It did not stop the fascism, and we see them actually escalating right now. One more thing. I know I'm saying a lot, but one more thing. All the kinds of energy and eyes are on Georgia right now, the two Senate seats, all this. Well, I just want to say, if this fascist behavior, terrorizing lawmakers and public officials, driving them out of their offices and out of their homes, many of them having to go live somewhere else in hiding, if this succeeds, it doesn't much matter who wins those Senate seats, because you're seeing the normalization of complete terror against any elected official or person in the street, dissenter or protester, or just basic person trying to live their life, who is targeted by this fascist movement and regime. This is, if that's what's normalized in this country, if we allow that, you know, who wins is the seats is not the decisive thing. These people are going outside the rule of law right now. So we've got to stand up. There's millions of us, but we got to be in the public square.
Sansara, you know, when you mentioned the armed protesters, camping out in front of somebody's house, in front of a public official's house, you know, to me, that's paramount to cross burning. You know, you might as well go ahead and burn a cross on their lawn. You know, because that's terror. You know, that's not about protest. That's about terror. And, you know, the Justice Department is completely looking the other way on all of this stuff. And that's why, you know, like you say, if we don't resist this, then, you know, lack of resistance means acceptance. And then we'll end up down that road and we can't, you know, can't move off of it. One more time, Sansara, let people know, you know, what time activity started at Black Lives Matter Plaza. And if they want more information, you know, about the issue, you know, where they can go and who they can talk to.
Yeah, I want to really appreciate the point that you're making. This is akin to cross-burning, and these are the people. There is a direct line from the Confederacy to this fascist movement today with all those implications. And so you're absolutely right about that. People need to come out. The place to be is BLM Plaza tomorrow, Black Lives Matter Plaza, starting at noon. We're going to have a rally. Refusefascism.org is the website to go to. And then we're going to stick around, and other groups are going to be coming out throughout the day to stand in that space and stand up against this. And it's very important. But so one more time, you can find us on the internet at refusefascism.org. You can join us and should join us. It's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow at noon at Black Lives Matter Plaza in Washington, D.C. And you can find us on social media at refusefascism.
All right, Sansara Taylor, thank you so much for your work. Good luck, and may the force be with you.
Well, thank you both so much this morning. All right.
All right. Sansara Taylor.
Thank you.
Refuse fascism. All right, folks. You know, that's the topic this morning. We're talking about this right-wing, the threat of right-wing violence. I mean, we've seen the news clips. We've seen the rhetoric, you know, either online or and even on mainstream television. You know, groups coming out, you know, threatening individuals, you know, openly hostile, just so full of vitriol. I mean, you know, it's like pit bulls, you know, out of control. You know, I mean, how should the American people respond to this? Okay, I mean, think about it for a second. As she pointed out, 17 Republican attorney generals signed on to this lawsuit to overturn the will of the people, to overturn the elections in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin, and Michigan. It almost sounds unfathomable, but it's working its way through the system right now. 17 Republican attorney generals.
Well, it's even deeper than that, because what they're trying to overturn are the votes in a majority people of color areas, and there's 17 white attorneys general. This is Jim Crow again.
Over 100 Republican congressmen have signed on to this.
White Republican congressmen.
Okay. So, and let's be clear about that. And that's an important distinction, folks, because, you know, when you ask yourself, well, what's pushing these buttons? What is the common denominator? And race seems to be that common denominator. You know,
it is.
So anyhow, give us a call, 202-588-9739. Excuse me, 0893. I'm about to give you the pledge line number. 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893.
We'll still take the money, though.
I mean, of course, of course. And we'd like to get your thoughts about, you know, what is your reaction to what you've seen and what you see? I mean, are you afraid? Should people be afraid? Should we just ignore them? You know, some people, if I just ignore them, they'll go away, and it'll never happen here.
Mm. They're not going away.
Is dialogue possible? You know, can legislation stop it? You know, should people be prepared? 202-588-0893, the threat of right-wing violence and its attempt to overthrow, it goes hand-in-hand with this attempted overthrow of the recent U.S. election. 202-588-0893. I'd like to hear your thoughts about this issue right now. So let's go to the phones. 202-580-893. Good morning. You're on WPFW.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Let me say this again. There comes a time in the affairs of men when caution ends and cowardice begins. In the 1960s, J. Edgar Hoover claimed that the Black Panthers were the greatest threat to the internal security of the United States. And what did they do to the Panthers? They killed them. They assassinated them. They made them go into exile. They destroyed them physically, broke every law, broke all the rules, because white people said they were a threat to their security. If you want to have a country, at some point, you have to understand when the rules no longer matter and the people who threaten the security of the country don't follow the rules, you have only two choices. You can either make them follow the rules, and if they refuse to, then you destroy them. That's how all countries work. That's how it works in this country, except now you have a bunch of white people who want to destroy the country, and everybody is sitting back and letting them do it because we don't really want to live in a democracy.
All right, thanks for your comments. 202-588-0893. Good morning. You're on PFW.
James, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, James?
All right. Not mean to get off the subject. Up in Baltimore, they found some records from Johns Hopkins, found the university in the hospital. He had some slaves.
Right.
1840s. So some right-wing people on radio thought it was very funny. They questioned whether they would tear his statues down the way they did Confederates and the Civil War so-called heroes, but they were trying to overthrow the government. But what are they going to do with his statues?
All right. Thanks for the information. The hypocrisy is off the charts. But right. Go ahead, Chip.
I was just going to say, because John Hopkins has always been, he's been slated as an abolitionist. And what's unclear is, are these records in a timeline where he started out as a slave owner and became an abolitionist? Because people evolve, so I don't know.
Well, the more important point is this. People, after all this history of the Civil War and the tragedy of slavery, these people, these right-wing folks, still seek to have a country where that type of activity is condoned and accepted. This is about acceptance of human degradation. Okay, these people are willing to lock you up, throw away the key, enslave you, and they have no problem. They have no issue with that. That's okay with them. These are their heroes. Thanks for that call. 202-588-0893. Right wing violence and the threat to overturn the election. Should we be afraid? Should we be concerned? Should more be done to stop this? Should it be prosecuted? Should it be just ignored? What's your perspective? Share it this morning on Community Watch and comment. Good morning. You on?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. This is Rick calling you long distance from Germany.
Hey, Rick.
I think that what Donald Trump is doing is a distraction from what's going on in the Congress and in the Senate. I think poor people, black people, Native American people had best pay attention to what's going on in the Congress and in the Senate.
All right. Thanks, my friend. Let me tell you, right now, those constituencies are suffering the most as it relates to the economics of this pandemic, the health anomalies of this pandemic. All of that is affecting minorities, at a much greater rate. And a much greater, much more problematic. 202-588-0893, you on Community Watch and comment.
Peace. Good morning, Brother Ron and the PFW family. How you doing?
Hey,
good
how morning. You doing?
All right, this is your fellow programmer, Baba Eze, with You Must Learn. But your comment, your points this morning are on point. I had to call in. So I wanted to make a point that, you know, these folk are still fighting the lost cause. This is the lost cause, too. This is, right. you know, I literally heard Rush Limbaugh talking about, you know, we might need to talk about secession. You know, we need to realize that we failed with the first Civil War. We didn't bring folk back together. We need to do a truth and reconciliation process similar to what they did in South Africa, because these folk are not just going to put their arms down and just go away quietly. We really got to go through a thorough process to work to exorcise these demons, because we in trouble, brother.
Exorcise these demons.
Thank you for the comment.
Indeed, my man. Thank you, AC. Appreciate it. How do we exorcise these demons? You know, we've tried to legislate it. You know, is prayer the answer? You know, I mean, where's the religious community in all this? I mean, how can they sit back and not say anything, not be proactive in stopping this threat of violence and this racism? You know, 202-588-0893. Good morning.
Good morning to everyone. Happy Friday to y'all. Good morning, sir. It is suggested for one's personal protection to have some goggles and pepper spray, and I would suggest if you can get you an inexpensive football helmet or a back catcher's baseball helmet. Y'all have a great day and a great weekend.
Thank you for the comments.
Tools of the trade now. 202-588-0893. Right-wing violence in America, the threat that's associated with the overturn of the election. Are these people serious? Should we take them seriously? Should we be afraid? Should law enforcement be afraid or concerned and on it, as they say? Mm-hmm. Your thoughts, folks, your thoughts. 202-588-0893. What would you do if you were Attorney General right now? Good morning. You on WPFW. Good morning.
Hello, caller.
There you are. Good morning.
Oh, yeah. Hey, good morning. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I think we have to worry a little bit about a false narrative being put out there. You come out and you constantly say right-wing violence. Yeah, that's horrible, bad when it happens. However, if you would actually be honest, you would see that the greatest violence of the last year and a half has been left-wing violence. And Portland suffered almost over 100 days of left-wing violence. The FBI own statistics say that hate crimes are much more black on white, or than it is on white on black.
Let him speak, sir.
You know, if you want to cut me off, that's fine, because it's your show. But I think we need honesty here. So name a right wing, and I know you're going to bring up Charlottesville, but you can't say, in all honesty, that the Black Lives Matter and all the left wing protests and riots that happened over the last year or two, and then you harp about right wing violence. I mean, there was a big protest in Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago. I guess you would call them right-wingers. Zero violence except for the left-wingers that came in and started attacking
I knew you were going to do that. Okay, well, I knew you were going to do that.
But let me respond. Say your piece and let me respond.
Look. You made your position clear, okay? All right? And you're also willing to ignore facts. You want facts, but you want to ignore facts.
Give me the facts.
You haven't seen any Black Lives Matter people showing up in front of people's homes, armed to the teeth. You haven't seen Black Lives Matter people siege the state capitol, okay? Walk around the state capitol with automatic weapons, okay? You haven't seen Black Lives Matter do any of that, okay? So that threat of violence, you know, like I say, if you're going to be real about it, then be real about it. That's coming from your folks. And if black people did that, if black people went out and took over a state house or plotted to overthrow two governors. Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay. If black people had done that, you know, then
first of all,
the plot would have never occurred because we wouldn't have gotten that far.
First of all, how dare you lump me in? You don't know anything about me.
I'm not lumping you into anything. I'm just telling you what you're telling me.
You said my folk. You said my folk. What is that supposed to be?
Well, no. What do you mean?
I'm saying those who agree with you. What is my folk supposed to mean?
Those who agree with you.
Okay. Well, how about some facts? Do you want to listen and learn, or do you want to deal with facts?
You know what? I'm done, man. Okay. So if you're interested in learning, then please continue to listen to WPFW. Okay. Please continue to listen. I'm glad that you're listening today.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in because some of the stuff you said is wrong. The FBI doesn't say.
That's how they operate, Chip, and that's what pisses me off.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the FBI, you know, routinely now says that white supremacy is the greatest threat. And what they do is they don't acknowledge, you know, a white person who goes into a church and kills nine people as white supremacist violence. That's just a one-off single person doing it.
Or a police officer on somebody's neck.
Right, that's not the truth.
Man, I tell you. But once again, that's the problem. See, that's why I say, is dialogue possible? Because these people believe this stuff. You know, they're not interested in, you know, coming to some new reality here. Their minds are not open to the possibility that, hey, you know, we're on the wrong side of this, okay? So, but hey, man, thank you for listening. Like I say, I hope you continue to listen. 202-588-0893. Time now is 11:25. You're in tune to 89.3 WPFW. Listen and learn. I know he didn't say that, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness.
Hey, Ron, this is Mike. I just pulled something up online, Ron. And we can't forget that the FBI stated that the far right wing extremist shot at the Minneapolis police precinct and sparked violence. So that's proof right there.
You know, and it's happening all over the country, all over the world, actually, just right-wing violence, you know. So, hey, and listen, there was even some post by some state official out west. Are you willing to die to overturn this election for Trump? That was this recruitment email. Okay, that exists, all right? Black Lives Matter, please. You don't see Black Lives Matter running around with eight AR-15s and masks and helmets and plowing cars into people. All right. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's okay.
You don't have to apologize, man.
0893. Good morning.
Ron's getting into his feelings.
Good morning, folks. You're on WPFW.
Hello.
Hey, hello. Hello.
Are you on? Am I on?
Yes,
you're on.
Okay, my statement is a realization, I feel. First of all, we need to always keep our history up front, you know, there reminding us. Because when you look back at Reconstruction and then Lincoln selecting somebody to be vice president from the other side, and then after 1965, you know, you think you're going to go somewhere, but you don't. And then you can't depend on the Supreme Court because they seem to always give you just window dressing or kind of feed you the dessert. And then when you're still hungry, the main course, you don't see it. So we got to remember. So now, what am I saying? So is this going to be another compromising situation we're going to have, or are we going to really put our foot down and say, we've been through this before, we're not going to go through these half-truths and half fabrications, we're going to put the metal to the pedal, and we're not going to go forward on this, and we're not turning back. And that's what I have to say.
Thank you. Right.
Thanks for saying that. And, you know, and I think that's an important important observation on his part. We're not going back. The people aren't going back. You know, they're not going to go back to Jim Crowism. You know, they're not going to go back to the gerrymandering and the racism displayed and you know, where everybody's trying to go forward except these folks. 202-588-0893. Going back for what? The good old days for who? You know? Man. 202-588-0893. Right-wing violence. The threat to overthrow the election of the United States. That's what it's about. Your thoughts about that? You know, should we ignore it? Should we take the threat seriously? Should they be prosecuted? You know, can they be charged with treason? You know, I mean, when you're actively trying to overthrow the government of the United States, and associating violence with that threat, man, like the Crowler earlier on said that about the Black Panthers. Remember how the Black Panthers were like, oh my God, they're going to take over America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what, a handful of brothers with shotguns. They're going to take us over. You know, we must stomp them out now. They're a clear threat. We're just trying to feed a few people. No, that's a threat. All right. 202-588-0893. Let's get back to the phones. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks. You're doing an astronomically well, you three guys. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. It's a book out by the name of Gene Guerrero. About Steve Miller, Donald Trump, and the white nationalist agenda. Also, the base over in St. Petersburg, Russia. It got married a Russian banker, a female, and left New Jersey and New York and moved to St. Petersburg. Now he's recruiting white people to get on board when the United States fall. They're going to come in and do what they have to do. The gentleman's name is Rinaldo Nazaro, N-A-Z-Z-A-R-O. Yeah, it's part of the white nationalist agenda, as it is. You know, we got out in the streets with these doing this voting process and everything, you know, despite the pandemic and whatnot, lines and lines and lines. Under no circumstances are we going back. Under no circumstances. We can't do that. Thank you very much for
a lot of time.
Thank you. All right. 202-588-0893. Go ahead,
I wonder sometimes if one of the things that's mixed in this whole, you know, fighting the election and stuff is they are trying to roll back mail-in voting.
Oh, ballots, yes.
Put it back in the box because they see that has opened up the voting rights of people that they don't want voting.
Of the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Voting rights of the citizens. The United States of America. They wave that flag around. Yes, this is about democracy. You know, it's like the opening to Superman. Priest justice in the American way.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want you to vote.
That's right.
In fact, we want to take your vote away from you. Because that's peace, justice, and the American way. 202-588-0893. What are the Republicans smoking, man? You know, my gosh. It'd be some great stuff. 202-588-0893. I say that in jest, folks, but you know, stuff just doesn't make sense. It's just not logical. You know, you got millions of people about to lose their benefits on the brink of starving. They're talking about 50 million people in the United States going through food insecurity right now. 50 million. That's almost half the population. 202-580-8893. You're in tune to 89.3 WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. Good morning.
Morning.
What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are I agree with the couple of previous callers. I think the Senate race in Georgia is really, really important because if you look at that race, you know, it would flip the Senate. The Democrats already have control of the House, and God willing, will have the White House as well. this race is pivotal in Georgia, and my fear is that it's being set up the same way that the national election was, in that Republicans are being advised not to vote, not to mail in vote, and they're going to set this meets their narrative. They're going to set this up as that somehow the Senate races were stolen as well. They're going to blame the Dominion voting machines, or they're going to do whatever. But it is very important for all people of color, all righteous white people, and everybody to get out and vote. And God willing, they can't take away millions of votes. I still have faith in the system. I still have faith that the right thing's going to be done. There's going to be a new administration, and the Senate and the House will both be Democrat-controlled, and we'll move forward, because as other previous callers have mentioned, this country's got a lot of issues. We've got a pandemic. We've got the economy's in a bad way. We've got people that aren't eating. We've got people that are out of work. We've got businesses closing. We got a lot of problems to address, and this current administration isn't talking about any of them right now. All they're doing is trying to hold on to power whatever way they can, extrajudicial or any other way, and it's just evil. There's no doubt about it. That's all I have to say. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You said a lot, and thank you for saying it.
All right.
Thank you. 202. You're right. They are evil. Well, yeah. They're evil people.
Well, you know, and we use that word evil. See, people.
Yeah.
Look, that's an easy word. I mean, when you intentionally inflict harm on another human being, that is evil. Okay, inflicting harm. Well, I'm going to disenfranchise your vote. Inflicting harm. I'm not going to pass the stimulus bill, even though I know you ain't got a penny in your pocket. You know, I don't care. Or evil and contempt. You know, intent. When you know that taking away somebody's health care is going to jeopardize that individual's health and the health of his family, you know it's going to have a negative impact, but you do it anyway.
See,
go ahead, Chip.
I was going to say, it's also compounded by the ineptness of this. I mean, here's an administration that has denied all the other things to stop this pandemic and hung their hook on the vaccine, and yet did not arrange to have enough vaccines for everybody in the country. Refused to take the offer to get more vaccines, you know, and now they're in a situation where we're going to come up short. It's like, you know, as much as they are evil, they are also inept, you know. It's like,
bad combination.
They don't care.
Bad combination. And if you don't know what evil is, I'm sure, you know, all you got to do is read that book. You know what I'm talking about. It talks about it from page to page. 202-588-0893. Good morning. You on PFW.
Hey, how many people in front of me?
No, you're on right now, sir. Turn your radio down.
Thank you. Will do.
Okay, what are your thoughts?
Hello.
From page to page.
Come on now. Hello.
Yeah, turn your radio down.
Hey, Ron, it's down. It's off. Thanks. You know, we have so much polarity in the country, and the people on the right and the people on the left just can never persuade each other, as witnessed by your prior caller who was just telling all that misinformation about who's doing the violence, and even went as far as to quote the FBI, which is, as you pointed out, thank you for that, completely incorrect. It seems like, as a lefty, the only time I've ever seen people on the right come to their senses is when they have an epiphany. There's this guy, I think his name is Christian Piccolini, who used to be a super right-wing heavy metal guy who was, you know, a complete epitome of everything that's wrong with the right wing. And he had this epiphany just by meeting people who were not like him and realizing that they were the same kind of people that everybody, you know, is basically the same kind of person, and we just need to get to know each other. And I strongly recommend people on the left and people on the right look up Christian Piccolini. There was recently a PBS show about him and several other super right-wingers who'd had epiphanies, who'd met people on the left and realized that their whole lives, the right-wingers' whole lives, had been wrong, and they were able to convert and are actually working to change things. So it seems like it's the only way that people ever get it. So So thanks.
No, thank you.
Thank you. Talk to the people.
Well, you know, that word epiphany, you see, that's what's so interesting to me is that you would have thought that they've had plenty of opportunities to have had, you know, an epiphany, large or small. But they are just kind of, and I hate to conclude that they're hardwired to be this way. I know the power of misinformation and how it can channel your life, you know, but that epiphany, you're right. You know, that's what everybody's been hoping for. You know, when will they have that epiphany? When will they say, you know, enough's enough?
Well, the problem is what he's talking about, that interaction, it's become harder and harder now. People are able to live in their silos, yeah, social media, Fox News. I mean, they don't have to be confronted with someone who has a different opinion. They live in isolated neighborhoods with people that are just like them. So that's where the problem happens, is that we need to, you know, we have to integrate as people to learn someone else's perspective. And it can't be, well, you know, I have that my one friend of color who basically is somebody you work with or in some kind of structured situation that you don't really interact in their lives and actually get to know them.
My car mechanic is black. What are you talking about? I know black.
That's right.
Right. I ain't been hooking on my car for years.
That's right.
202-588-0893. You know, what's it going to take? You know, can we have that dialogue? You know, that's why I brought up about the churches. You know, I mean, I know some churches are trying to experiment with ways to, you know, reach out to the various communities and such. But apparently it's not enough. Mm. You know, it's just not enough.
Well, I always say, if your church has got a crystal cathedral, then you're in the wrong church, because that's not what they're about.
All right, let's get back to the phones, 202-588-0893. Good morning.
Is that me, Ron?
That's you.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good morning, gentlemen, Chip and Ron and what's the other
Don.
Brother's name? Don.
Donnie.
Don.
Johnny.
Yes, John. Yes, I can't forget
the
John.
The good-looking one. He's the good-looking one.
I just wanted to, you know, give you greetings. But before I make my comment, I want to give shout-out to Mama Justine Eisenberg, the 103-year-old mother of Joni Eisenberg. Mm-hmm. Joni and I go way back. I actually at one time was the producer of her show in another lifetime. So may Mama Justine Rosenberg rest in power. Eisenberg, I'm sorry, Mama Justine Eisenberg, rest in power. I was calling, I wasn't going to call, but at first that person who called in and was saying, you know, you had the little discourse with him, Ron. First of all, I hope he pays his pledge. That's one thing. I hope he honors his pledge in support of WPFW. And I wanted to also say, you know, these people who are coming to D.C. this weekend. The last time they were here, the destruction, he said that it was very peaceful. These people went to Black Lives Matter Plaza and destroyed memorials that were put up to people
looking for trouble.
And let me just say this. There were two people, and I'm not going to call their names. People can look them up. The person who was ousted as leader of the Proud Boys, there was a person of color. He was down there. And there's a woman who has made it her business to go around to Black Lives Matter monuments. And she threw paint on it in New York. And she's a person from Staten Island. And she and others were at Black Lives Matter Plaza desecrating memorials in tribute and an honor and respect to people who had been killed by the police. And that says volumes about them. And another piece I wanted to mention, if these people are so peaceful, you had Rittenhouse, who took his stimulus check, purchased an automatic weapon, and went across state lines and killed two Black Lives Matter activists in Kenosha. And those two Black Lives Matter activists weren't black people. They were allies. And so, as you mentioned, Ron, they stormed the state capitol in Michigan. They were threatening to kidnap the governor of Michigan, and they were going to go after the governor.
And Virginia.
And in Virginia. So, I mean, these are not just people who are peace-loving folks who just have a different perspective.
Right.
These people are terrorists.
Yes. Thank you. They are terrorists.
They are terrorists.
And they are planning. They're terrorists.
And I just encourage people to just please be careful. Please be safe, because these people are mad.
Mm-hmm.
And they're living in a parallel universe. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Yeah, and they do. They live in a parallel universe. And just to stamp that down, anybody who's out there thinking that what she said is incorrect because it wasn't an automatic weapon, it was a semi-automatic weapon, that's the BS that they keep doing.
Yeah,
you know, it's like they want to focus on the minor, you know, problem in someone's statement instead of the meat of the matter, which is actually true. You know,
the meat of the matter is that these folks are running around with automatic weapons.
Semi-automatic.
Okay.
No, automatics are illegal.
They don't care. They got bump stocks, remember?
Mm-hmm.
They retrofitted with bump stocks. They know what they're doing. That's the problem. You know, they're in love with their weapons, and unfortunately, folks, they're not afraid to use them. 202-580-0893. Good morning. You on PFW. What do we do?
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
You on the air.
Turn your radio down.
Yeah, okay, gentlemen, thank you. I'm enjoying the conversation. But I have a question. Okay, a couple of days ago, C-SPAN had a group of doctors on, some were international, and they were talking about the various vaccines around the world. You know, Pfizer is not the only vaccine. China has vaccines. They were talking about the efficacy of a herb that Madagascar has to fight the virus, and other Cuba and other countries that have vaccines. And I'm wondering, why aren't the American people entitled to investigate and take other vaccines? Because China's been vaccinating their people at least for 5 to 6 months now, and there are studies out about the efficacy of it. And I'm just wondering, you know, is it just the capitalists don't want no other vaccine to appear on the market except Pfizer's? I mean, somebody help me.
Well, the answer is real simple. The administration, remember now, this whole virus question has been around for, you know, over half a year. You know, I mean, the administration has, what's the word, determined what the America's response was going to be in mm-hmm. terms of these vaccines. You know, they're the ones that have been, quote unquote, the deal makers. But we've seen how ineffective this administration has been on combating the virus. So we're fortunate that, you know, there are multiple, you know, vaccines out there. And now that we have a body of people in place to examine those vaccines, you know, that's the bottom line. I think that if it had been any other administration, would have done a much better job of vetting these vaccines, way before now. Okay, so that's it. I mean, this administration has had no response. It's been irresponsible in that regard. I mean, that's the only answer I can give you too. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not the company's fault. You know,
comment is that 45 only cares about himself.
Right.
He only cares about himself. He doesn't care about anyone else. So that's the major problem right there. He doesn't care about anybody else but himself.
And keep this in mind now. Pfizer, for example, now Trump is feuding with Pfizer because they wouldn't roll out the vaccine before the election. Because he wanted that vaccine out there before the election because it would help him. His whole thing is, well, they were intentionally trying to hurt me, so I'm not going to invite them to the vaccine summit, all right, which he had, you know, what, last week?
Right.
You know, he invited everybody except the drug makers, you know, to come in to talk about vaccines. So, and that's that kind of pettiness, man. That's why we are where we are. You know, no other reason, man. You know, we've got the doctors, we've got the technology, we've got all of that, but it has to be marshaled. And unfortunately, this administration has done none of that.
And some of it has to do with international politics. I mean, we know that Russia has a vaccine, China has a vaccine, but they're also they're countries that are totalitarian, and they were loath to, open up to WHO and to the FDA on specifics of how these drugs were vetted. So
exactly.
That's why America wouldn't get them.
You don't want to take that stuff, man. You might be, you know how it is. Brand X. 202-580-0893. Good morning. You on PFW?
Hello?
Hey, good morning.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, turn your radio down.
Yeah. I'm glad that last person was talking about the vaccine, because I want to make the announcement that on September the 17th, Dr. Leonard Horwich, when asked, he agreed to go to the United Nations and the World Court. He wrote the book called Emerging Viruses. He was part of the development of the virus. He wrote the book called Emerging Viruses and Vaccines in 2006. They fired him and vilified him, and he agreed to go before the World Court and the United Nations to let the world know that this is a man-made virus designed to bring about the New World Order, and that's what we are in right now, the New World Order. Nothing's going to change. But he has agreed. So I want your listening audience to understand, to look him up. Dr. Horwich, Horowitz. He's been on the radio on your sister station in D.C. twice in the last 2 months talking about the virus is man-made. Several other people have been on talking about it. This is the only station that I haven't heard talk about this virus being a man-made virus. And when you create a virus to kill millions of people, it's not a pandemic or epidemic. It's a genocide of the human race. And that's what is taking place right now. Every 30 seconds, somebody is dying. Over 300,000 people died yesterday, and ever since I've been on the air listening to you saying things, the last person was the only one I heard say anything about the vaccine. They're talking about 50 million people going to lose their benefits. 300,000 people losing their lives. That's what we need to be talking about. We need to.
Well, we understand that, my friend. We do. And thank you for your call. And listen, neither one, they're not. There's not a competition between the two pains. You know, you're right, about the number of deaths, that are out there. But, 50 million people, facing food insecurity, that's children, that's families, so like I said, that pain is real on both counts, and neither are more important than the other.
Right. It's just... But the other pushback is the man-made virus. I mean, that's been debunked, and it would be hard, because I mean to say that this was a man-made pandemic means that every country involved, Russia, China, the U.S., Great Britain, Canada, everybody had to be on board, because everybody has done tests of the DNA and RNA of this coronavirus, and it's not man-made. So,
and let me just say this also, folks. History will be full of opinions about, this. I mean, we're still dealing with the AIDS virus, Ebola, there's still debate about that. So, listen, we're running out of time, so I'm going to get one more call in. Good morning. You on PFW?
Is it me? Am I on?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you are.
Ma'am.
Yes, you.
Hi. I never get through to anybody, so here we go.
I was
thinking about the evil comments that were made earlier, and I have to say that the evil one only has several agendas, and it's to divide, to steal, kill, and destroy. So if everybody were to think on that level, and then we could look at each other differently. And that's just what was put on my heart today.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. And she's right. And, we've got to open our hearts. We've got to open our minds. I wish that we could have some dialogue with these Trump folks that could be fruitful and realistic. But it takes two, unfortunately. And you know, when you bring that anger to the table, you know how it is. You know, you get nothing done.
Clouds of vision.
All right, folks, listen, this is another edition of Community Watch Comment. Thank you, Chip. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, listeners out there.
Thank you.
Sarah, be careful out there. Once again, acknowledging the passing of Ms. Justine Eisenberg, my buddy Joni Eisenberg's mother of 103 years. Thank you for your service, and thank you for being there. Thank you for bringing Joni to our planet, okay? Love you. Love you all. All right, give peace a chance, y'all.
Thank
you. A lot of it from the way I see it.
From WPFW in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Sue Goodwin, and here are some headlines. The Food and Drug Administration said early today that it will rapidly work toward authorization of the Pfizer-BioNTech coronavirus vaccine on an emergency basis. The FDA's statement came hours after the FDA's Vaccine Advisory Committee endorsed the vaccine. The committee voted 17 in favor, 4 against, and 1 abstention. At least 2 dissenters objected to inclusion of 16 and 17-year-olds, given what they described as the low risk of severe disease in that age group and how few had participated in the trial. Once the FDA grants emergency authorization, the shots will start being moved to the states within 24 hours, according to officials at Operation Warp Speed. Inoculations could begin early next week. 106 House Republicans on Thursday signed on to a brief supporting a last-ditch Supreme Court lawsuit attempting to overturn the November election. The lawsuit, filed by Texas AG Ken Paxton, seeks to stop the official election in the battleground states of Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. All 4 states have certified President-elect Joe Biden's victory. The Republicans' move followed a pressure campaign by Trump, who is reportedly been polarizing them. That has been dismissed as burden by legal experts, and it is unclear whether he is even consider it. All 4 states named in the lawsuit filed briefs on Thursday, asking the Supreme Court to object to the lawsuit, calling it seditious and warning the justices that granted Texas' unprecedented request would do violence to the Constitution and disenfranchise millions of voters. The lead attorney on the filing, John Eastman, is a far-right lawyer who earlier this year argued that Kamala Harris, as the daughter of immigrants, may not be eligible to be vice president. Legal experts have questioned whether Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, who filed the suit, is angling for a pardon from Trump. Paxton is currently the target of an FBI bribery investigation. The Trump administration is issuing sweeping new curbs on asylum eligibility that critics fear will devastate the country's asylum system. Immigration judges would be able to more easily claim that applications are frivolous under the new rules, as well as deny asylum requests without hearing if they believe there is certain evidence. The new policy says that asylum seekers must prove that they will suffer a severe level of harm should they return to their home country. Current law says asylum seekers must have published today in the Federal Register and take them back. The court ruled unanimously that 3 Muslim men who were placed on a no-fly list and 2 government officials images. Refusing to spy on their communities, which prevented them from making trips to Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Yemen, harming their reputations and jobs. And the Trump administration on Thursday carried out its 9th federal execution of the year and the first during a presidential lame duck period in 130 years. With witnesses looking on from behind a glass barrier, Brandon Bernard was pronounced dead at 9:27 p.m. Earlier this week, a federal judge refused to delay the execution even after several of the jurors who sentenced him to die expressed regret
and asked Trump to grant clemency. Bernard, a black man who was 18 years old when he was convicted as an accomplice to the murder of a young white couple in Texas, did not kill either person and says he was a getaway driver during a robbery gone wrong. From WPFW in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Sue Goodwin.